Good morning. 6:26 a.m. on June 9th, 2012. Monday morning. And the first thing I do is yawn. I've been up an hour and a half. I managed to sleep in until 5 this morning, which was quite delicious, actually. I was woken up once around 4, said, no, not yet. Rolled over and managed to go back to sleep. So it worked out very well. The downside, of course, is that I'm nowhere near as awake and alert. My brain is not anywhere near ticking over what it normally does. However, be that as it may, the weekend is over. I'm hoping I'm going to get people go back to work, and I'll be losing younger daughter this afternoon. She's going to a sleepover. Let's see. The book has gone over 100,000 words. The feedback that I'm getting from people has been quite positive in terms of the story. As I suspected, some of the details are missing. I've had some great ideas, and they're being layered in. And I think it's coming together quite nicely. I've added, I've added about 4,000, 5,000 words since the 4th of July. And that's after taking out a bunch as well, substituting some for others. My sister offered the herbalist perspective that I completely overlooked. I got that added in yesterday morning. John Hibden. I think it was John Hibden. I'm pretty sure it was John Hibden. Went back through and did a complete name analysis for Ravenwood. And thank you, John. That was wonderful. And it turns out that I did manage to pick the only unattached female in the village for Tannis' companion. So, yay. I thought I had, but there's always that doubt that it's like, really? Did I manage to do that? There is a reference early in the book where Tanith takes her for one of the other wives. But of course, that was nothing. From the actual narration, we never met her husband, we never met the man she was supposed to be with. There are a number of single men, the quarrymen, and it's a somewhere I thought I had a roster, a list of all the people who were in the village. I can't seem to find it right at the moment. Doesn't mean it's not there. I also, every once in a while, seem to remember that, I've got a calendar. I really should do something with the calendar. The calendar's kind of cool. I don't remember if I mentioned this yesterday about the beans. Turns out that the tracking program ChooseMyPlate.gov, and I'm pretty sure I did mention this yesterday, has a setting where if you want your beans to be counted as protein, you click the protein button and it changes the food type. That struck me as odd because it's still a vegetable, but if I count it as protein, I don't get to count it as a vegetable. I'm not quite sure how that works. I would think I'd get to count it twice. But I suspect that they do that in order to keep the balance in the charts. And it's a bit arbitrary. Oh, for the second day in a row, my daily weigh-in was higher than the day before. So I think perhaps one of the problems is that I might need to be eating more. Which sounds odd, but looking back over the calories that I've consumed, I'm falling pretty short of the target, which is 2200. I've barely been breaking 1800. Most frequently, it's in the 1500 to 1800 calories a day range. So I suspect I may have to eat more and get a little bit closer to my target range in order to see the benefit of the diet. I'm not sure. It could also be just anomalous water. I mean, the change from yesterday to today was 0.2 pounds, and that could be nothing more than extra water that I've maintained since yesterday. I haven't eaten a lot of salt, and the Encaffeinated One pointed out that bread is a huge source of salt, and it really is. I'm looking at the labels, and the amount of sodium in bread per serving is greater than any other single serving of anything except canned refried beans. And since I've been eating my own homemade, salt-free, refried beans. I'm pretty sure it's not coming from that, but the program is counting it. So, yeah, something to consider. His suggestion was make your own bread, and that way you can control how much salt goes in. It's not a bad one, because I need to see how much salt shows up in a regular recipe. I'm not 100% sure I know. It's like per pound of flour. Suppose I'd have to do something like put it all in grams and then figure out how much salt goes in and average it across how much salt would come out per slice in order to figure out how much salt there is. Cooking bread in the morning is a possibility. The big thing in terms of bread baking here is the temperature, and I'm not going to want to run 350, 400 degree oven in the afternoon. I haven't seen him for a while. And I don't particularly want to run the oven in the cool part of the day so that the heat gets into the house while it's still cooling. But a bread machine, which has much lower heat output, might be the ticket. I'm not particularly pleased with the idea of another single purpose appliance in the house. But maybe. Oh, today's the day I get my tea order. I'll be able to make a pot of tea for dinner. I've missed my tea. What happened was that we pretty much ran out. I'm down to scrids and scraps of tea in the bottom of the cans. And I've been putting off ordering some more. And I took the bull by the horns just before the 4th and actually ordered some. That should appear today, I hope. So we'll be able to make a nice pot of tea this afternoon. That will make me happy. When I get back from therapy, I also have to take younger daughter to her sleepover tonight. When I get back from therapy. So, let's see, what am I going to fix for dinner? Last night with leftovers, it came out pretty good. I got some balsamic vinegar to make vinaigrette. And that had a nice green salad with tomato and a little bit of vinaigrette, homemade, no salt. It's quite yummy. I have to make some more. I'm going to grill some zucchini, so I may swipe to cut faces of a zucchini with the vinaigrette just to give it a little extra flavor and a little extra protection from the heat. It should brown nicely that way. Oh yeah. Humid this morning, quite humid. Humidity is high because the temperature is pretty low, 62, 63 degrees. There's a little bit of a breeze blowing. It rained pretty much off and on most of the weekend. It rained so much that I don't think I can mow the lawn this morning because things are not just soggy, they're muddy. So it's going to be a while before it dries up enough that I can drive a lawnmower through it. If it stays cool today, and it might, I might potentially give the front yard a quick buzz cut this afternoon. I have to see how I feel this afternoon. Oh, that's unusual. 63 degrees out and their air conditioner's running. It must be quite warm in that house. I would think they'd open a window. They may not be awake. At any rate, let's see. Oh, if you didn't hear it, I walked past a house and the air conditioning's external compressor was running, which means it was pumping cold air into the house. The breeze feels good. So yeah, Tanith, back to Tanith. The first 100 pages have had about 3 or 4 new layers of content put in. I need to have a reveal here to something that's been going on in the background. I need to get that one out. But I've pretty much worked through the majority of the broken arm issues. Which I think are going to open up new opportunities for the story going forward, particularly as it relates to the relationship between Tanith and her young protege. I do need to look at something that I think it was John who suggested that Rebecca had actually a role in the village that Tanith wasn't aware of. That makes a certain amount of sense. I like it a lot. I've also been getting, I haven't talked to her about her for a while because I've been so focused on Tanith. I'm also getting these flashes, these bits of story about the asteroid miner that I talked about weeks ago, Natalia Ruggieri. That's a story that's going to be fun. I can't quite figure out where to put it. It's not going to fall into the Solar Clipper universe, I don't believe. Although, maybe. Maybe. Yes, maybe indeed. I'll have to think about it. I suspect not. I also suspect it might not be a bad YA vehicle. I'd like to put out some more work that I could point, particularly middle school, high school kids at. I'm not real comfortable holding up Ishmael Huang. And a lot of them aren't really grokking Tanith Fairport. I wouldn't think. I don't know. I may be wrong. I'm not getting a lot of email from kids, let's put it that way. But I think Natalia Ruggieri is a sort of action hero. Give me some opportunities to talk about some things that I think need to be talked about. I think I'm going to go back to Nathan Lowell Presents too. I think I'm going to use that to write reviews. If I can't find people who want to post, it's been difficult. I think I might write some reviews. Books that I've enjoyed that aren't necessarily getting the kind of mainstream attention or front drawer attention, because none of the books that I read, very few of them, are going to get mainstream attention. D. Ernst. Better Off Without Him. That was one that I just read. Very cute. It was a semi-romantic comedy. It's a bit self-referential. It was about a woman writer whose husband leaves her and writes a book about a woman whose husband leaves her and has complications with several men before she finally settles down with none of them. Although in the best romance tradition, in the actual book, the main character, of course, finally settles down with one. Or promises to, perhaps, settle down with one. The other one was a little more problematic. 28 and a half wishes. I can't think of the author right now. That was a bit cliche. That was a bit predictable, transparent, relied on characters being particularly stupid. But I read the book. I bought it. I got the whole book. Actually, I think it was a freebie. And I actually enjoyed it. For the most part. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Deborah Geary, but it wasn't bad. And I'm going to walk past this lawnmower. One of the big park Toro tractors. To do my lawn. I don't think I could get it on my lawn. It's one of those 15-foot wide mowers on a tractor. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I will talk to you then.